formal training, lawyer, he's not in law school, he's trained in law school. He was a musician.
He was a musician? Henry Rosen?
Played the pipe organ. And came from Central Europe Transportation. Up to London on this mission. Yes. And he did have a career playing the organ somewhere. He became dissatisfied with it and he left. He came to Alaska to just go and go to see discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Then he studied law under Wickersham.
Oh, he studied under Wickersham.
I'm sure that's correct. Then he practiced Fairbanks and Ruby and places like that. Wound up in Southeast Alaska in November of the first legislature, 1913. And lived in, you know, practice law the rest of his life. He used to be a very old man.
Did he study under Wickersham in Eagle and Fairbanks? Is that where they were?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fairbanks. Fairbanks.
Did Roden look for gold? Was he a prospector?
Yes, he was. I think it was about that. But he did then. In a regular manner, sign on these young guys and you know, have so much to do. You know, Mr. Barney, give me the courses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Set them up for the generation of clubs. George Porter was one of them, and Walter King and others. No, I think it's Walter King, and I don't know about Walter King. George Porter, I don't know why I think two.
And Al White, yeah. What did he teach them? What was his course?
Well, he put together it, so.
Uh-huh.
And, that's all I know. He, when are you a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, in Alaska, they don't have any. I can't. The only code they have, the current code, is biological in Alaska, in 1913. Most of the time that you've seen that. Well, the legislature talks about it in the code of 1933. It's a red book.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No.
Roden looked at it. I mean, Roden entered into a contract with the legislature and the attorney general's office to codify and prepare that code and update. Sometimes referred to as the Roden Code.
And those were all the laws governing Alaska up till 1933.
Roden was auditor, attorney general, and no descendants.
He really had the whole thing tied up. So he's training the lawyers, he's writing the law for the lawyers, and he's administrating it. Did any other judge besides Folta come out of his What was the bar exam like? I know you were just waved in, right? You didn't. Or
well, I'll tell you, I took it in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
The questions were prepared by the Turk Supreme Court, who also gave the examination of the second and graded the papers, certified the election.
And he wrote the questions?
Yes. Yeah. He read the paper.
No one ever questioned that.
No. No, it was done by the cook. And then they had some. And after that, too, they went away from the hospital for a long time. This did not appear on the show. Mm-hmm. He was, but he detailed the same thing.
Yeah. What about in Alaska? Did you ever?
Yeah, when I was, when I came here by Fort North Fort, then territory attached. That's something I'd say not about what we have a trip required to take examination, unless they had to keep sure or showing they'd been living in practice in another state and similar laws. So I don't have some background. So that's the effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that's the reason I had better send them more.
Okay.
And we accepted that in a good faith that mm-hmm. day was supposed to be
Had you worked for Senator Barr in Idaho?
No.
You just knew. Did you work for the legislature at all in Idaho? No. How did you know him? Such a.
Well, we were both Republicans. I worked in the office of an elderly lawyer and elderly Barr. In Greensville, Idaho, he was a very intimate friend of Senator Barr.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came north and part of the state line. He saw over there coming in with a female. I mean, I got to know him first through that, and I kept in touch with him.
Did you keep in touch with him while you were still in Alaska, too?
No, I got to know him.
You did.
I had most of him.
In Ketchikan, we were talking about the different lawyers that were practicing at the time, and you'd just gotten done talking about Billy Paul, the native lawyer who handled mostly native law, mostly with the native, doing a lot of collections, you said. Big business. And that he was active in the legislature. Another lawyer that you'd mentioned was Patrick Gilday. Was he political, active in politics at all?
Yes, President. Gilday had come to the country with him during World War I as a Red Cross. Patrick had already been. Anyway, he was in some kind of station of pains. Military folks, but they had them for this and that, not the Lions.
I'm not familiar with Haynes.
Anyway, it's kind of a social argument, social service.
Is this World War II?
No,
World War I. They had a station in Haynes?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. What?
World War II stand, that's where the Idaho National Guard was. That's the National Guard.
In Haynes?
Some of them at least.
Mm-hmm.
They activated the group and put their first place in front of the army. My sister came in. They had a new situation. Maybe I listened to the.
So a training camp, is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For World War I?
No. No, wait a
That's
minute.
World War II.
Yeah. Yes, it was. That's when it was.
Gilday was. So it was used for both wars. It was. Yeah.
You know, they, some kind of a correspondence to Washington. It's about time, I think. correct, so.
What do you mean when you say politically and otherwise?
What is acting in the local affairs?
Which party? Did he hold any offices?
I don't think so.
What was his practice like?
Well, it was small and bachelor. He was a in Calvary and the mission for the ministry for elections and motions. He was a pastor of Calvary.
This is the 1929 one, right?
He died before World War II, so I don't think I was there.
What about George Grigsby?
I don't know about George.
What do I want to know, or what do I know about George? I know about George. Most of the later things, you know, people remember him as very old and close to 90. I think I get that. And that he, and some of the things with Judge Diamond, people have told me that he's done in the courtroom, such as asking for the key to the men's room. Those kind of stories about George. But I really don't get a sense of his practice or...
Well, George Grigsby, I have been a Christian, you know, and frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Father and commanded a troop of cavalry in the Spanish American War. And we'd say Ruth got the same on Hill. He loved me from college, I guess you call
it. A rough rider?
Yes. Then the old he was pointing out, just turned his nose. Why? George went there too, but it was already more. I guess not. He said, he was like a friend of about 1913.
George or his father?
George.
George.
Have you seen this book that the guy who had written Bob Yarman published this year?
Who's who?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's your best thing. Both you and both you. His father was about this time, and his one brother was his sister. I think George would have gone back there much after. Probably in the South Hebrews and Continental. He's one of them there. He was like a Attorney General. I think that was a partial term. I can't place them, and I think they were all into effect in big term.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a lesson to you.
Was he in Juneau at the time?
I think it was in
Rome. Or he's still at Nome?
He was in Juneau on that wave.
After being elected Attorney General?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Of course, he was in one of them. Mm-hmm. He had family. Mm-hmm. children and two children there. But then after that, when I came from high school, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed there a few years, I don't know how many, and I went to June. And after 2 years, he came out here.
Why did he move around so much?
Trying to find some place to make a living, I guess.
He didn't have a lucrative practice?
No, well, he loves his family, but he didn't like that.
He liked bootlegging cases?
Yeah.
Was he good at it?
Yes. Oh, yes. He was very much fun. He was a hard drinker and gambler. All the financial trouble.
Did he come to your meetings at the Ingersoll Hotel?
Oh, yes. All our lawyers came to that. George, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Is he doing well in Ketchikan? No. Why not?
Well, he had too many other things to do besides practice law. I never got around to it. He told us that would be all awesome. And then he was thinking. And he did not do that. And maybe they had known he'd been taking some large money to this, and maybe that's a large amount of money out of him. But he started that out of him. Nice fellow. He's been in trouble. Like him. Very intelligent, very outgoing, and some other things in your life.
After the contested seat for Congress, did Rickershan stay, or not Rickershan, did Grigsby stay in politics?
Yes, he ran for delegate. These two of them, they kind of...
Were there any other Democrats stronger than he was? Were there any other Democrats in the territory that were stronger than Wickersham, Grigsby, stronger than, have more of a following?
Well, Diamond was with Wickersham somehow later. I wouldn't know how much of that thing was.
So it was just that the Republicans were stronger than the Democrats. Is that
right? I do think it's different with the administration. The Democrats are in nationally wanting to hear by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa. It's just the pockets maybe conform to the
Mm-hmm. Did the lawyers switch their politics too? I know Wickersham did, but did the other lawyers? Some did. Did you ever switch your politics? What was Grigsby, just staying on Grigsby a little bit more, because there's such a folklore about him.
Yeah.
Why?
He was an entertaining father. Always make a joke, make fun of him everywhere. It was just like, something funny. Yeah. Everybody laughing all the time. Joking around.
Did they have gambling houses? Were there
Mm-hmm.
were there gambling houses where he would gamble, or would you gamble at your meetings at the
No. I wasn't gambling houses.
And George was at?
Yeah.
Were there any strict rules governing lawyers, saying they couldn't gamble or they couldn't drink or any kind of disciplinary procedures? Did that happen frequently? For what?
Paid it to the council of clients' money, I think. Something like a word out of Petersburg had to do something like that. Paul was appointed a seal or attorney, but he ran with more people than that. And they just got to fun. I don't think he ever got back then.
What year was that? So in 1947, Grigsby had an office in the Reed. Which is the Reed building?
No, it's where the Woolworths.
Oh, well, okay. That used to be the Oyster Loaf?
Yeah.
Downstairs?
Yeah.
So Grigsby always had his office right next to the bar meeting place? Is that what? Sounds like he's centrally located. Who's who? I'll have to get that. Okay. Oh, we were talking about William Paul and his suspension from the bar.
I don't think he'd ever reinstated. He's all trained, he's all being treated really good. All kind of screwed up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is. About the same time. Folded this bar in his face of reinstatement of the year. Folded him.
He didn't like him.
I don't know. I must have happened that.
Was that in the 40s? Did that happen?
I think the original was pretty before it was in the 30s.
Who is the three-man council. You'd said that in a disciplinary proceeding,
they appointed
a committee.
No, they didn't have any standing committee.
Do you remember who the three were in Paul's case?
I shouldn't be. I didn't want to say that they had such a community. I know he was barred by phone, but that was a usual way of going at it.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
Was anybody else ever, were there disciplinary proceedings ever against any other attorney?
seminar in India.
I think we kind of drifted away from Joe Grigsby in the meantime.
Well, he had a family, married for a few times.
Three times he was married? Yes.
Uh-huh. And with his first wife. And my father, I don't remember. I think he moved outside. Well, outside means that my family was dead. Living outside. Sure he was. Why and how, I don't know.
Grigsby was living outside at the time. Someone had mentioned that Harold Butcher was taking care of him for a while.
Well, they had a room here in the barn, so they just let it take him for a month.
Oh, really? To take care of George Grigsby. That's very nice. Did most members of the bar like the policy or dislike it? Or?
Well, I think it's telling that it's improved. The bar got bigger and bigger than the newcomers. The newcomers didn't know George. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have that. Probably not an impression of it.
Is he the one who helped institute this policy?
I think so. I can't tell you how long it lasted or what success it had. I just remember that. We never had one out while I was there.
What was her connection with Grigsby?
She was a lawyer, lady lawyer. She would have known about that. She was very afraid of it. I don't know.
I know that Dorothy Oz Holland was Judge Diamond's law clerk. Were there any women in practice? Mildred Herman. What?
She was a student of Al White.
Oh, she was? Al White, the commissioner.
The commission said law under Al White.
The marshal? So Mildred Herman studied under Al White? Somewhere I'd...
No. So that would be Rosemary.
Yeah.
No. It would be Rosemary.
It wouldn't be Wickersham, though. Wickersham didn't. It's very interesting that you say that, because I read in the bar rag, when Mildred Herman died, that she had taken correspondence courses with Wickersham, but it must have been Roden. Is that what you're...
Georgia had a legal job, but Georgia had a pencil or something.
Oh, okay.
Where was she in here?
Right, Dorothy Holland. But Mildred Herman?
Not Mildred Herman. Dorothy Tanner didn't either. I'm quite sure she was in a legal sense.
Yeah.
She's already in there. She admitted outside, she gave me here, I know she did.
Both Dorothy Holland and Dorothy Tyner were lawyers when they came. But what about Mildred Herman? Now, could she have studied with Henry Rowden?
I'm going to be right. Yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right.
Did Wickersham offer any correspondence type courses?
Never heard of
any. Back to Ketchikan. How many years did you spend in Ketchikan the first time you were there? That was right after you were commissioner at Hyder.
After I was commissioner at Hyder. Mm-hmm. Been there on April 1st, 1929. This is my first achievement in 32. And I was pretty much 33 sometimes.
Did you practice there till 45?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I had an office there until 1960.
Okay. Were you active in politics while you were in Ketchikan?
Yes.
In Republican politics?
Yes.
That? Did you run for anything?
No.
You didn't? Why not?
No.
What? Why didn't you want to?
Well, I just wanted to do a job. I just wanted to have a job.
Excuse me, I didn't understand.
I didn't want that kind of a job.
Mm-hmm. What kind of job did you want?
Quite a lot.
I know you represented many of the canned salmon industry in the, like for when the wardens wanted to determine when to open season and that sort of thing. What about in the court system? What kind of cases did you handle there?
Well, it was generally tax and various cases of the book industry.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now, did you work on which side of the litigation?
Well, the same
so, the Indians were asking the for the land from the salmon packers, or?
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. I think it's secondary material, according to the National Librarian Garden, and I think it's in the Oregon.
How did you do in most of those hearings? How did you do? Did the salmon industry win? Did the Indians win?
I would say the salmon industry won. The salmon just kind of figured out. He maintained a distance to it. And the first hearing officer would make a point, you know, from the arbiter, said it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we fired him and got him on the other. And then we revamped it. Cut down the amount of acres, the balance of things.
This is the Department of Interior that's doing this.
Mm-hmm. We never agreed to it, and we never agreed to it. I don't know if he's made the decision. I'm sure he hasn't seen it, but in the book, I never did. He's not loved it. They have the butter, and they didn't even. I'm not making it very plain, I know that.
I know. I'll go over it with you then. So in the first decision, they awarded it to the Indians. Is that right? But they never implemented the legislation. But
they awarded a large amount of land and fishing rights.
But they never enforced it. Is that what it means? So the other fishermen just continued to.
Yeah, I think they just wrote before.
Mm-hmm. In what year was this?
Well, come on.
And then, in the later 40s, there was another. Who did most of the work for the natives?
Well, Stan and my cousin. I put the thing together. They weren't too well organized.
Is that Karluk? K-A-R-L-U-K?
Yeah.
Is that what you're looking at? What it? Can you explain that?
Secretary of Interior was approved, you know, set up. I went to Karluk every year for 9 years, so less than 9 years.
Uh-huh. Working on this litigation.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone. And Karluk does not appear in the time of the case.
What is the case?
That's the popular name for the land of that Karluk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easier. Right. branch was the Arbor from the fishing group. And Hines was the agent in the sports fishing and fishing regulations. And so he knows the
What were
I never wanted to affect it in any part. We secured an injunction at the time because I was trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that posture for the rest of the day.
What were the years? Do you remember the time?
In the 40s.
So would it be about 1940 to 49? Was it that long?
Something like that.
And Stan McCutcheon was on the other side.
He didn't take any part of it. He didn't have a lot of it. The other side was the federal government.
But he did a lot of the organization.
Yeah, footwork, you know.
Of getting witnesses and things like that.
Yeah.
Was he part of a law firm then? Was he practicing out of Anchorage?
McCutcheon?
Mm-hmm.
McCutcheon never practiced anything else but Anchorage, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the law firm, one time he was an officer here with me and Brager, Colonel Brager, or something. I think I was in partnership with Nesbitt at the time.
Mm-hmm. Are these all Democrats? Did he all?
Yes.
They're all very.
Mm-hmm.
Why did McCutcheon have such an interest in Native rights? What was his?
That was an inside attack. He had $7 million to build that full train station.
The 1971 bill,
mm-hmm.
Right. But he didn't, could he foresee that?
Well,
is that?
Well, that's not a bad question. I don't know if he's down that far, but he sees that there's a lot of money on property involved.
Mm-hmm. So it was more of a financial endeavor rather than altruism. Did he get paid?
Well, he must have.
Mm-hmm.
I know the other folks, the other people, some of the sisters, they said, Paul, they had money now. They said, Paul, the son.
So Fred Paul worked with McCutcheon?
Worked in the same field, the same area.
Mm-hmm. But not together?
I don't think so. See, these guys were sticking out in the 9th Regional Corporation when they merged the groups after one. Nobody ever had the Natives on the same business. They never were able to go up and off that road.
So did the lawyers actually take Natives of their region and say they're going to represent these Natives? Was there a breakdown in that?
Well, the group of Natives, that's a pretty anti-Native, they read about this and decided they ought to get them, or somebody suggested them to the bar, you know, and everything. And then they would enter into contracts with the Natives. And they would facilitate the union by helping the various ways of government. And they wouldn't actually just get the Natives. And their aid was given. At least they were compensated on that theory.
Mm-hmm.
And they were. They did not support them.
And the Natives paid them. So that was.
over 7 and a half.
But that was later, wasn't it?
No, rather on some years, some years.
This was the $7 million early, or was the $7 million part of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act?
I'm sure, yes, whatever the amount. I might be wrong about the $7 million. I don't think so. I think that was the figure. But anyway, it was a section of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. The machinery sent him a bill up by the government to receive, determine the amount of the
What I'm trying to understand is, did McCutcheon get part of that $7 million, or was that way after?
No, it wasn't way after.
It wasn't.
No. I can't say it did. I think it must have.
How did you get involved in doing the canned salmon side of these claims? I mean, you were down in Ketchikan, and now we're up in Kodiak.
I was in Seattle. I lived in the salmon industry.
From Seattle, you were doing it. So you traveled to Kodiak from Seattle.
Yeah.
Is that what you were?
I was off in Ketchikan, and going to
I see. While you were still in Ketchikan, before you were doing all this long-range traveling, how did you set up the ties to become? Become the one to be picked.
I was running the Southeastern Cemetery. Before that, for the cemetery, they were centered on the Pitts family. They were centered on the Southeastern Cemetery. I remember this area, looking at Pitts family. They stopped living in the state down through like this.
Did you ever have competition from lawyers who had been representing canned salmon in Ketchikan or in? In the Bristol Bay area, were they there too? Did you ever have competition from other attorneys who were?
I don't think so. I don't remember anything like that. Most of them weren't very familiar with.
Didn't some of the big firms like Faulkner Banfield and?
They had a. Place in the picture there was certain local. Come in, Bob.
That's okay.
They were my friends.
Faulkner Banfield and
Bob Robertson.
Robertson Montagonista.
Yeah.
Were they your friends from when you first gone to Juneau or from your dealings while you were in Ketchikan?
Yeah. Ketchikan with the salmon.
With the salmon?
But after.
Did you travel back and forth while you were in Ketchikan between Juneau and Ketchikan? Is that? Okay, go ahead.
I took on a job there. We were able to see that when we practice everything, practice everything, seven, and that trip down in hours or days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Seattle. I was working for him in Santa Rita, and I was traveling back and forth on planes. All of us, particularly Southeast.
What did you do for the industry in all your traveling back and forth? What were you?
One of the things I've been doing is fixing the regulatory process.
Mm-hmm.
Second permit artist of all, I had a section of the camp in the last set up exclusively on labor problems, union problems, negotiations.
When the military took everything you had, what did they do with it? What were they taking it for?
They were authorized funding to get it.
They had what?
Fifty
of the boat?
And they run on the beach and
You mean they gave them to you while they were stuck in the ice at Naknek? What were they doing with all the boats? Why did they?
I know they were cargo and troops being ready for the assault on them. Some of them were crew. Our steamers were, just like this, for the trip.
So you had steamers that they were requisitioning, and fishing boats. They were did they pay you for them, or did they just take them?
Oh no, they paid for them. They say that fishermen all in the year. By and large, I'd say 75-80% of the getting back to steamers. In the spring of the year, ships would come in and bring in cargo and crew. And then in the fall, they come back and pick them up. Well, that spring, Points further down the city. Then we got back in the call.
So they would take them while you weren't using them, was that?
Well, we weren't even using them 30%, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were that useful. Yeah, they were from the contract with other companies that they could not perform.
Mm-hmm. How is the Alaska Steamship Company related to the Alaska Packers, the canned salmon industry?
Alaska Packers, what do you mean by Alaska Packers?
I might just be using terms I've heard.
Alaska Packers is the oldest and the largest salmon packer in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about them, or you're talking about the industry generally?
The industry generally.
I don't know of any packers in Alaska Steamship Company. Alaska Packers are really easy. Alaska Packers are really customary for Alaska Steamship Company. The United States are really customary. No, you're talking about the industry generally. What about that? What was the question?
The Trade Association. Yeah. What was their relationship with the Alaska Steamship Company? Was it just as a client to use their steam?
As a client of the public. At the beginning of the war, World War II, the salmon industry accounted for about 95% of the Alaska Steamship Company's southbound revenue. They didn't have anything. Except canned salmon.
Well, that's very interesting. So they no longer had copper at Kennecott, is that?
Well, they're frozen 33 tons.
Did they ever buy into the canned salmon?
They were in it.
They were in it. So the, when did they buy in? When did the, that's the Guggenheim interest, right?
So it's very old in Cordova in 1937.
Was he part of Alaska Packers, or was he
no.
just part of the Trade Association? Skinner and what?
Eddie Dewey.
They bought Alaska Steamship Company.
Right. They had a small steamship, small company of their own. They merged the two.
Mm-hmm.
The Northland Transportation
Company. Now, how are they tied to canned salmon? How are they? Did they own any of the
yes.
canneries?
Yes, they had canneries in southeastern Alaska and at Bristol Bay.
Do you have to go? Did the canned salmon industry work together as one? Did they pool their revenues, or were they separate entities? And just how did it work? I know very little about the industry.
Well. Put together without always being ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it when we got signed up at the bank. That was one of the principal functions that I had. I'm prepared. They worked as close together as they could without becoming involved.
Mm-hmm. Did you keep a close watch on Congress? Were you lobbying Congress for the to make sure that the antitrust laws were?
I wasn't sure about it. Tried.
trial. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you do? What did you? How did you coordinate it, or how did you?
Well, we tried to work out some kind of a system with the Department of Justice. Tell us in general way what we could do and what we couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Without coming in there.
Was it advisory opinion type thing? Is that, or was it more informal?
Mm-hmm.
More informal. Did you have a good relationship with the Department of Justice? When was it better and when was it worse? When can you, was it political?
I don't know. Most of that time, I've been in the military. And they worked too hard to work with. In fact, they were the ones that kept the Department of Justice on the way.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Oh, they are interested in the regulatory process and the whole conserving industry and operating, the team that operates. Well, they're comfortable when they're moving. Everything. That time, as far as I could think, prior to World War I or World War II, there wasn't much to us about it. After the country.
And then after World War II?
Well, but I said the creature to Sam, and then Krim didn't have any business. Lumber product. Move to South America.
Did canned salmon get into the crab industry?
Some of the snap. I would say that Tim did more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also questions we have in the Japanese. Actually, in the Bristol Bay, and was contacting the State Department. And I worked with them.
Were they hard to work with?
Oh. I guess not. I, one year in 36, 37, and then they came in. Much further into the Mississippi than we had before. And Sanders arranged that number. This is before I moved to raise the numbers about as best I could. And the State Department and the Department of Commerce was going to send a prison. We're going to send an expedition out there to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a boat better out there. Our people in the industry have been surrounding the men that have written their individuals for many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't wait for them to let them leave for the next one. I'm just going to have a touch can.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get the suit from the tree. I've never been to see how to do it. I don't care. I don't know the industry. Been way to waste the summer.
6 weeks in the Bering Sea, is that what you were?
Well, this is a small portion. Mm-hmm. Gone out of paper.
Miles
and miles of enforcement. 6 weeks wasn't all spent, but it was not even the last. I spent 6 weeks. The function took about 6 weeks. We were on the boat.
And you went down then from Is that your first time that you were going out to represent the entire industry, or to be a spokesman in a sense?
I don't know. That was a kind of life. You know, I didn't have that because the last year, Seattle, I was singing the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fell down. The Senate Committee and the Senate Department to draft a sometimes protest of that news. And I went down this morning.
In Washington, D.C. Did you? Go ahead.
Yeah. I was afraid I wasn't going to be home for Christmas. And that committee was in the State Department. Not every Tuesday morning. Musical meeting. I was there. I was in the middle of the week. Cordell Hall, Secretary of State.
This had to be exciting time, that was.
Yeah, I knew it was an opportunity. I remember it from the beginning.
Uh-huh. What did they end up drafting?
A protest.
Did it do any good?
It took years, you know, 36 or 37. I wrote that out for the next year, in 7 or 8.
What went out the next year?
We protest from the Department of State with American government, we got a new government.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed to lessen their activity pending further discussion of the problem, and that's why the state for a couple of years. Then the national government ran away. Yeah, we went in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 or 4 days and a week, I didn't really sweat anything. I didn't really have any. Just remember that one.
Yeah.
And we went in the back.
So you didn't have to worry about the Japanese for 20 years?
No, I didn't have to worry about writing notes on them. Yeah.
There wasn't any enforcement, though, or anything, was there?
Besides the ship, that's what the North East book, that's pretty good. They were destroying the people.
Well, the Russians did.
Or the Japanese did.
Yeah.
They were just writing letters to them. They didn't sank them.
They sank. Were the Russians having the same problem with them?
Yes.
Yeah. They probably found it was a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Just take care of it.
Well, the ship boats followed the season. The same boat was fishing right in the water, but the last water was follow the fish.
Yeah. Do they still do that now?
I don't think you can compare the systems in the boat now. Now the Japanese fish both in the record part of the American watercraft company. Pursuant to agreement with the Japanese government, I was in the issue. Quarters in that time frame,
mm-hmm.
almost anywhere.
Yeah.
We do the same thing.
But at that time there was...
We put out the 200-mile rule, and the Russians adopted the New Zealand, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Russia.
You did? When? negotiate these?
No, I just remember the change me. They sent me over there and he sent me over there.
How does their industry compare? Do you want to check? I think what I wanted to ask you next is, when did the canned salmon industry decide that they needed a coordinator such as yourself to handle their illegal affairs?
I was not the first man to have
it. Oh, you weren't? Who was before you?
His name was Van Hogenberg, he's not a last name.
Where was he from? How do you spell that? Van Hogenberg?
Hogan, H-O-V-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Okay.
He was there a couple of years, so started a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think there's impetus came to that also from the fact that we're going into war. Plus the whole seminars was based on the government supervision operation in the course of the war. Put in charge of the Secretary of Interior. So every county had to have a license and they had employed so many people, so many men, had so many pieces of cans and so many boxes and so on. And the Department of Interior had charge of that for the war. And they had an advisory committee, the agency of the Interior. And I was chairman of
it. I see. And the whole. Who else was on that advisory committee?
General Baker. I think there were seven.
Who were they? Do you remember who they represented?
Oh, they represented themselves. They were operators.
So it was individual, but with a company?
Yeah.
Individual companies. Do you remember which companies were on the advisory committee?
I know August Bushman was on it. He was the deputy chairman. And last year he was chairman and I didn't serve on it last year. I was doing something else. August Bushman was an old time chairman back then. The USC is in the room.
Was he from Alaska? Was he Alaska?
He lived in Seattle. He had lived in Alaska, but he lived in Seattle.
Do you remember anybody else on that committee?
No, I don't. You see, we had there are places full of committees coming and going, and this is another one of them.
What were the different? Okay, got one question. Was most of the canned salmon industry coming out of Alaska? Was it most of the operations in Alaska, or were they? I mean, was that the bulk of where the revenue was coming from, or where was?
Oh, it? No, I mean, I understand. It was both only of Alaska salmon packers.
Oh, what?
Yes. Now, you might have had a canner, somebody that had a canner in Alaska and one in Oregon. They didn't have to be solely. But we spoke to them about the revenue, that the income assessments. We don't have an Alaska job, we can't produce in Alaska. It's entirely a matter of Alaska operation.
What are these assessments? That for the military?
Is no. No, to pay my expenses, I was back to the point of the left for my own. Had a budget. And then the assessment of the per case basis. Yes, the small package who remembered the organization.
But it was only those that had operations in Alaska.
Yeah.
So did you only handle their Alaskan business?
Right.
What about the business that these companies had in Oregon and Washington and California?
They had somewhat similar, not as well, but they had committees and similar to
So you were got as the most involved into the business
yeah.
end of
yeah.
Why?
Well, I think for one thing, the industry in Washington, Oregon didn't have the complex problems that we had in Alaska. We had fish trap troubles and cannery troubles and tax, territorial taxation was a big feature. We were paying 85% of state tax, I think they got some of this year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm supposed to do and never get out there was to get that off. That spread out a little bit. I took care of herself and saved the part of that. We were the only thing to pay ourselves.
Why? But weren't there other revenue-making
Very little. Gold was tax-free.
Gold was tax-free? But most of the gold mines closed in the
right.
war years. Yeah. What about fish traps and cannery troubles? What did you deal
with? Well, there was a continual battle on about fish traps. All of Eric's busy again. That's another thing that differentiated from Oregon, Washington. Traps have been hidden there for years.
How were you able to keep fish traps in use in southeastern Alaska or in Alaska?
Well, by opposing registration and regulations to prohibit their use.
Mm-hmm.
That's the state legislature and my other groups.
Who are the ones who you usually came up against when you fought to keep the fish traps in use?
I attended every session of the territory legislature for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That time you meet a lot of people. The principal, I can't. But the union always had a fisherman. Non-trap operating fishermen were one of them. We're the biggest force against us.
Who represented them?
They changed nearly every year.
I mean, there weren't any lawyers that represented the non-trap fishermen on a standard basis?
No, I don't
think
so. I don't think so.
Nothing. So there was nothing as organized as...
Well, of course, they were continuing to attempt to have non-trap legislation offered to do. Secret passion, we were trying to prevent that.
Who would introduce it? Were there any legislators that that you could depend upon to introduce it at every session?
Well, they were the ones who introduced it. They were interested. They were attempting to abolish this trap,
mm-hmm.
make them unlawful.
Right.
We were attempting to stop them with the allow them to continue.
Were there any legislators that would introduce legislation?
Oh, yes.
All the time, yes. To abolish fish traps. Which ones were the ones that normally?
I don't know. There again, Paul, I remember him because we were all close friends. We were never on the same side of anything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I can't think back to that. Another matter of concern to the same country. That's what I worked for. We were talking about regulating fisheries, seasons, and so forth. That was a big part of the work, too.
Just to get back briefly to fish traps, because I know it's a hot subject. I've heard other people discussing it, and it's something that there must have been a lot of controversy about for a long time. How did you manage to keep it going? What were your arguments? It was outlawed in the lower states and things. How did you manage to?
Well, the principal one was that they were the revenue producers. We tried to establish contentment with this by pointing to Oregon water, fish traps were abolished, but I guess they couldn't stand the burden of taxes that they were carrying. And they didn't have any success about us or anybody else to consume it. That was a big argument for us. These efforts to abolish fish traps, since the state had nothing to do with the regulation, they simply attempted to tax them out of the district. They weren't under the state now. There was a series of fights all the time about taxes, fish trap taxes.
They tried to tax the people who use fish traps out of business, is that one?
Yeah. Or like putting a $50,000 license tax on the trap.
Did they ever get one passed?
Well, when they got into the big money, they generally were found to be invalid.
Who found them invalid?
People tried to ask the court for them. I said, it wasn't the issue. So I just kept going about it.
Did you normally work on those cases?
Yes.
Who were the lawyers who worked with you?
It was Bob Roberts and Bert Falk.
They were. So they also. Was it their firm or them individually?
It was their firm and they handled it individually.
Did Norman Banfield ever work on that?
Well, he did in later years, but then he didn't come with Paul Moore on a permanent basis to allow him to save him today and know.
Till later on.
Yeah.
What about Monagle?
Well, I was not kind of that technical for much of a show.
He did.
Yeah.
So he, what kind of work did the two of them do? Did they bring the case in the lower court, and then when it went to the Court of Appeals, did you do it, or how did you split
them? No, they all did it all the way. We wound up with three of us, back on the trial in the lower court, and we talked.
So most of it was, the cases that did come out of this, were they mostly on taxes, were they mostly tax cases, or?
Very large facility. Large facility, not very large facility.
What other cases came out of it? That you would work with them?
No, 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 of course. All labor cases, And I said, well, Robinson's talking to him, what's he doing back here? Of course, you know, all these companies had, all these Seattle and Portland dispatchers, they had attorneys too, and they had attorneys there.
Mm-hmm.
They were, in our view, in some degree, largely in something they were participating in all this practice. I know somewhere in there, I think it was still Secretary of the Interior, we had a meeting with Nickers, and maybe it's not better than myself. So the purpose is to try to avoid some of the friction that was in the past. And I was trying to wield your hands on people and trying to create a lot of power. The abbot said, I looked and counted myself, he, in some cases, he said, he had 32 lawyers in it. I counted them.
God.
Oh.
What case was he referring to, do you know?
The water for them. Yeah.
But it did all the Packers just take all their lawyers and put them on a case?
No, they frequently, there's a lot of jealousy and friction. Mm-hmm. You have to, in the bigger cases, by the general owners of the number.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say jealousy and friction among the individual packing companies? Or?
In there. Lawyers.
Or the lawyers. Why? You certainly must know how to work with them, though. Even if you don't understand, you must understand them to some degree. I'm just trying to. You're the head of this. Of the Alaska, the Trade Association, and they all have their own lawyers, too? Did you have to coordinate the lawyers when you had
no,
a case?
No, that's not a bad description of it. I had to coordinate because I could only keep that company in line by the lawyers were in line.
Mm-hmm.
I had that too, the company and the lawyers.
Were they easy to work with, or were they difficult to work with?
Well, they weren't easy.
Why not? But do they didn't like to take suggestions, or they didn't trust your word, or they wanted to do it all themselves, or what?
They trusted me, all right, but they didn't like the fact that I had the other guy's lawyers in there, too. See?
Mm-hmm.
There was friction among the lawyers.
Of the company?
Yes.
I don't understand why they would.
Well, part of it carried over from other activities, of course, I guess, the competitors in business. I was fairly successful working with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The people that work was trying to keep them away from the other source.
Wasn't the whole purpose of what you were trying to do to coordinate the industry so they work together and get the best deal for everybody?
Yeah.
I would think it would be to the, you know, the industry wouldn't want its lawyers fighting among each other.
No, they didn't do that. They were able to control them entirely.
Did they have suits against each other?
Yes.
What kind of suits?
Old brokerage cases and charter cases.
What kind of brokerage cases and charter cases?
Well, they're always in like the sales department, they're always in lawsuits for their brokerage and their sales company. Something I didn't have anything to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And they became something very bitter.
Was there a set percentage that people had to have this commission, or?
Well, right in the midst of this, the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission, that had gone up. All the proceedings against the same issue. urine infection and due dates and hepatitis analysis and the skin benefits of all some of the product. And I know that approaching 30 oratory, I was hopeful.
I don't understand. You mean when the FTC was making regulations?
Yes, FTC was holding a hearing for whether or not they should make certain rules like this. And it was appropriate to regulate sales. But in terms of the whole thing, I was interested only in the professional network. But there was a sales angle to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, naturally, I did bring it up. First place, I didn't have a basis for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was an operating problem.
So you didn't coordinate that sort of thing?
Well, I tried to.
Didn't work?
Well, we finally got a compromise order on things that went too bad. It's still in effect.
Mm-hmm. What was the order?
Somebody asked the same question the other day.
I don't know if I want to read the whole thing, but I'd like to glance at it.
Okay, I'm
okay.